Welcome to Voices of Freedom. The lesson titled this morning, The Lord is My Shepherd. I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to be my shepherd, he wants to be your shepherd, and he wants to be the shepherd to the whole world. He wants us all to do a better job, and he wants us all to come to him, and he wants us all to respond to him in a way that he can use us. Because I can't get in his will if all I ever want to do is my own thing. Okay? I mean, that's just that's as clear as it's going to get. So for the prideful and the arrogant and the know-it-alls and the ones that can't get a sentence out of their mouth without an I in it, please be careful, because the Lord is supposed to be our shepherd. Now, it says in Psalm 23, here's how it reads. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So King David here, as he's sitting and he's thinking about this, and God's bringing these words to him, what's he doing here? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I tell you what he's saying. He's saying, when the Lord's my shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, my needs are covered. That's pretty good, isn't it? So he says, well, as my needs are covered, what else? He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still water. Beautiful thing about being led by the still water is, if you go back and do a little research on the sheep, they can't drink out of moving water. So they had to have still waters to be able to drink out of them. And the idea that he maketh you to lie down in green pastures, he's making a place for you. He's finding you the food and the clothing and the shelter that you need every single day. And all those things are built-in needs that are inside of us that God placed there. Because the animals may have to depend on somebody else a little bit. Now, the wild animals, not so much, right? But a sheep is a domesticated animal. Sheep are ignorant. Man, they're crazy ignorant. Well, I won't give you some of the gory details and some of the crazy details of the sheep's life, but a sheep could be standing on top of a mountain looking down into a valley, and he needs to go to the valley, and he can't get there. That's the sheep. But we're compared to sheep because we're really not much better. So he's going to make me lay down in green pastures. He's going to lead me beside the still waters. I got to be led. Left to my own devices, I don't do a very good job. I have to have something accountable that I know is watching me at all times, and that is God. He's watching what I do. He's watching what I say. He's watching where I go. And it's not like a taskmaster. It's the things that I shouldn't be doing. If I don't do them, I'm going to be more productive in life in general. But in the eternal life situation, I'm going to stand a chance to get to eternal life if I'm following after the Lord, the real shepherd. If I choose to go a different route, or if I'm that lamb that's always getting, he's always getting lost. You know, it talks about, there's a lesson or two in the Bible, it talks about the sheep that's always wandering off, that the shepherd would get the sheep and he'd break his leg. Man, can you imagine what the animal rights people would do about that today? But he would break the sheep's leg, and he would do it for a couple reasons. The number one reason, to make the sheep depend on the shepherd. I tell you, just before I got saved in March 1997, the Lord broke both my ankles playing basketball. So I know a little bit about how hard-headed the sheep is, and I know a little bit about what the Lord will do in those kinds of situations. So be on guard and pay attention to that, because you don't want the shepherd to have to break your legs to get you where you need to be. The second thing that happens when the lamb's legs broke or the sheep's legs broke is he comes to realize he got to rely on somebody else. Well, the scariest thing in life, and I was there probably in my mid-20s, maybe early 20s, I didn't think I needed anybody else. But with a little bit of wisdom and a whole lot of conviction and the two broken ankles that I just discussed with you, guess what God did? He brought me into a situation where he made me rely on him. He became my shepherd when I surrendered to him. And there's a lot in this. This Psalm 23, I would suggest if you're going to invest in something, go invest in a King James Study Bible with doctrinal footnotes so you can come in here and read this and start to understand God's got this big old master plan. Big old master plan in this thing for you. So, yes, though I walk, or yet, well, I'm sorry, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So what is this about my soul being restored? Well, listen, I'm born with a sin nature. Got it from mom and dad, Adam and Eve. Okay? You were born with a sin nature. You got it from Adam and Eve. It's just what you are. Now, the fact that the shepherd can restore your soul ought to make us jump up and down. Because the concept of somebody being able to do this, man, oh man, it ought to get us excited. Why? Because if I stop and look around and I see he restoreth my soul. Boy, I tell you what, it means the soul needs restored if he's doing it. And if I'm dead in trespasses and sins and separated from God and on my way to hell, boy, what a glorious moment it is to realize that the Lord restoreth my soul. Now, when he restored my soul, David writes here that he led me in the path of righteousness' sake. So what transformed Brooke Lunsford in March 1997 when he got saved? Wasn't anything that I had done. What transformed me was as I got saved, or when I got saved, okay, he started to lead me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. His namesake, the Holy Spirit, there's one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So this Holy Spirit is the namesake, or is God too. You ever thought about that? So he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's not going to lead me wrong. He's not going to, I won't be able to read something in this Bible and justify my actions because I found an error in God's thinking. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot in that, isn't there? If you stop and think, there's a whole bunch in there. So the master plan is what? Yea. Yes, I'm going to have problems. Yes, and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So what's this telling you here? Well, as I look at that, and I see, yay. Yes, I'm going to have some problems. Yay, I'm going to walk through some darkness, okay? And the ultimate darkness that I'll ever walk through is the valley of the shadow of death. Now, think about that word shadow for a minute. A shadow doesn't always appear, you know what I mean? I mean, a shadow is a brief thing, I guess I should say. A shadow comes when you get a little bit of sun behind you and you cast a shadow on the ground, right? So the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of death, because to the restored soul, there ain't nothing we got to worry about in this. Because the restored soul, and I still, Christians tear me up on this. Oh, grandma's dying, grandma's, you know, papa's dying. Oh, I can't live without my mom. I can't. Listen, if mama and papa are suffering and they're saved, man, here it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I'm not saying that we don't hold grandma's hand and we don't, you know, hold papa's hand and we don't stay with mom and dad to the last breath leaves. But I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes we're praying, oh, I want you to pray for her. Pray that they don't take mama. Pray mama don't die. And mama's suffering and mama's ready for some rest. And mama's ready to run like she did when she was a 10-year-old girl. She's ready for a glorified body. And all we're doing is clinging and begging and hoping and praying. And, you know, there's a bunch of weirdo Christians out there. Don't be one. I mean, that's about as simple as I can say. So, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Nothing can get me from the hand of God, for thou art with me. And he says, look, there's something else too. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we're going to go through some things, and we're going to see some crazy things out here, right? We're going to go through all of these different things, and the shepherd is going to have the rod and the staff. So he's going to have the offense when we need offensive protection, and he's going to have the defense when we need defensive protection. He's going to get us through this thing. And if it goes to death, he's still with me. So if I go to death in my belief for Jesus Christ and keeping Jesus first and letting Jesus be my shepherd, I can go all the way with the Lord. I can go all the way. Okay? Because his rod and his staff, they're going to comfort me, because I'm going to look around and I'm going to say, we got trouble on all sides. Then I could read in the Bible, it said, I send you forth as sheep amidst the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I gave you a prayer life, Lunsford, and you didn't use it like you should. That was your rod and your staff. It was offensive and defensive weaponry. You got to get in it, Lunsford. You got to do better. Your prayer life has to be better. Mine has to be better. Now, I'm not saying I don't have these little thoughts that go through my mind and little conversations with God throughout the day, but the earnest sitting down praying, Lord, eradicate this drug crisis in our region thing, I got to pray it and pray it and pray it. Please allow those people that are struggling to hang in there. Please allow the people being taken advantage of to hang in there. Please allow the people to hang in there until help's on the way. So here's the deal. The scariest moments in life, the worst possible thing that can happen to us, is to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Because we don't really know about death. I mean, we know we're absent from the body, present with the Lord, but we don't know how we're going to die. We don't know, is it going to be gruesome? Are we going to suffer? You know, we all hope to die in our sleep. There's songs written about the best that we can hope for is to die in our sleep. So the idea is this. In the scariest times of your life, we're even going to guard you with the rod and the staff, but at the end of the day, man, oh man, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love it. Now we get on down to verse 5, we see something else going on here. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, a lot of us can have heard that. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. But the cool part of this thing starts out when thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many enemies do we have? Who knows? You got those that have made it known. But we've got more that we don't know. You know, we've got those that don't like us. They're jealous of us. They got those that just don't like us. You know, that makes what Jesus said about love your enemy. You know, why are we loving everybody? Because we don't really know who's against us. You know, I'm in this little political thing, but we have no idea who's against us and who's not. You know, so we'll know November the 6th when everybody casts their vote. You know, I'm hoping for more than five. Five's my how many people I in my family. You know, or 10 maybe if I count some cousins. So, you know, you're hoping, but anyway. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Is not following the Lord, I mean, it's the greatest thing you're ever going to do. You don't realize it, and then you surrender, and now you're starting to grow like I've been growing now for about 20 years. Now you start to realize this is real. Jesus is real. His plan for me is real. But through all this, if I can stay focused on Jesus and I can let him lead me beside the still waters, if I can let him lead me into the green pastures, if I can allow him to restore my soul, if I can allow him to lead me in the path of righteousness, I go through all these things. And he's going to make my enemies sit and watch me be honored at the head of the table. You got any enemies? You got them if you're saved. Man, I've listened to it, and it's not been that bad, but you got to take Jesus off your signs. I've even got a mentor working with me that's leading me through a Bible study, and he's like, you know, there's so many people that don't want to hear it, and you don't want to alienate them. And, you know, I'm not trying to force everybody to Jesus. I'm trying to make myself accountable to do a good job in this. Hey, if somebody doesn't want to get saved, I don't care. If you want to follow Islam, follow it. If you want to follow Buddha, follow it. Or if you want to follow, you know, a spiritual candle, go for it. I don't care how you do it. But in the moral compass of this world, the biggest change that's ever happened in people is when they do latch on to religion. Now, if you latch on to the religion I have a tendency to believe from this Bible that God himself will live inside of you. That's a pretty cool thing, because not all religions have that, but you follow what you want, because I'm going to love my enemies, I'm going to love my friends, but Jesus says everybody loves their friends and their family, so there's no reward for you in that. The reward that comes from me, comes from the Lord, down to me, is going to be when I sit at the table that the Lord's prepared for me and my enemies have to watch me be honored. That's why I'm not out judging you. That's why I'm not out taking vengeance on you, because the Lord's got this master plan where you're going to watch me be honored at the head of the table. Now, you get in this campaign stuff, and there's this bickering back and forth, and there's, you know, this one's getting support and that one's not, and all this little, you know, just like a bunch of kindergarten kids. And then, you know, you see all these little innuendo things tossed in there, and it's like, wow, you know, all this jockeying for position to get something that won't even spend in heaven. It's a lot to be thought about, and it's reinvigorated me to say, look, the Christian loves everybody. The Christian wants the best for everyone. And if you're corrupt and you're crooked and you're in a situation where you're taking advantage or you're doing something, you better really be careful in this situation. And I believe that, because here's the deal. The Lord is going to make a table for those that follow him, and his enemies are going to have to sit at it and watch him be honored. You're not going to want that, okay? So I go through all the trials of life. I go from the basic necessities of food, shelter, and clothing, right there leading me by the still waters, into the green pastures, right? Carrying me when I can't carry myself, breaking my leg to keep me close and dependent on him, whatever it takes. Now I get down here to verse 6, and David closes it out. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, wait a second. I'm allowing the Lord to take care of me in life. That sheep does not have a house. That sheep does not even have a vehicle. That sheep does not have a job. Now, I'm not saying don't work, because I believe no work, no eat, okay? But it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You ever stop and think about that? Listen, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's making my enemies watch me be honored. Gracious sakes alive, are you kidding me? A Christian should not have one single problem in the whole world. There should be nothing get me down, and really not much does, to be honest. But you ever stop and think about that? There shouldn't be anything in this world that gets me down, because the Lord has this thing covered. He's the master of the sea. Man, I hope you got something out of this. I hope you got half as much out of this lesson as I did, because I really enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing you. Look forward to meeting you out here on the trail. Have a great day. God bless.